Amen. We are in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 15, where the Bible reads here, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." And the title of my sermon this evening is "Too Busy, Too Idle." Too busy, too idle. Now, we know without a shadow of a doubt, according to this passage and many other passages, specifically, obviously, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, that God has given us a time for everything under the sun. Okay, we have time for anything that is important to do in this life that God has given us a responsibility to do, to accomplish much, to provide for our families, to do God's will. God has given us enough time to do this. Now, it's obvious that God has provided us with different sets of resources for every person. You know, not everyone has the same amount of money as you, or not everyone has the same amount of talents as you. Or may I say this, not everyone gets as many opportunities as you may get, but you know, one thing that we all do have is the same amount of time. Amen. And that's why time is so valuable. Why? Because we all have it, and once it's gone, it's gone. Okay. Therefore, we need to recognize that we need to take advantage of the time that God has given to us. Look at in that same chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." God has given us time for everything. So we can't say, well, you know, I'm just too busy. No, God's given you the time needed to accomplish that which we need to do in this earth. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. But doesn't it seem like sometimes Christians just don't have the time, right? You know, or sometimes, I don't know if this is you, but you finish your week and you're like, man, where did the time go? I feel like I didn't get done what I wanted to get done, or that which I should have gotten done. What happened? Well, you know, it's not God's thing, because he's given us enough time to do everything. Most of the time, it's our fault, okay, if anything. Our priorities are out of sync. We're not putting in priority that which is most important. We're putting our attention on things that are not that important. And we're wasting our time. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So the Bible's telling us in verse 16 that we need to redeem the time, buy it back. We obviously know we can't necessarily buy back time, but we can invest our talents and the things we need to do in our time and that which is most important to do. Okay? Go to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 9. It says here in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Man, that's kind of sad. You know, someone can sum up your life in a chapter. Yea, even in a paragraph. I mean, sometimes you read stories in the Bible and you read an entire chapter, or yea, even three verses, and years have gone by within those three verses. That goes to show you how much, I mean, how basically our life is so short that it can simply be told in a matter of three verses. It can be told in a chapter, in a page of a book. Okay? It says the days of our years are 70 years. He said, look, the average person that lives will live only to 70 years. And it says, "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Doesn't it sound the same as what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5? To walk as wise, not as fools. So in other words, the wise person says, all right, I have this much time. As far as I know, I can't count on living until I'm 70, or yay, maybe even 80. So therefore, I need to number my days. But you know what we have to do? We have young men and young ladies who are just wasting their life away, doing nothing. Okay? They're just having fun and trying to live it up and do those things that are just vain and vanity, and they're just wasting their life away. And then they, well, you know, I'm just going to live and nothing's going to happen to me. You know, you don't even know if you got till tomorrow to live. You know, you ought to invest your vitality and your energy and your brains into something that's profitable in this life. Don't think just because you're young, you're invincible. You could die tomorrow. Go to James chapter number 4. It says, teach us to number our days. You know, we ought to make sure that we plan our days out. And look, part of this sermon is simply this. We all need something to do that's productive, something that is profitable, okay? Everyone in this room, whether you're single or you're married, should have a project you're going to work on this week, you know, regardless of what that project is. Maybe it's a project for your job. Maybe you are a mother or not yet a mother. You should have a project at your home to do. Like, okay, this week, my project at home is to clean every nook and cranny in the restroom, you know? Or my project this week is to teach my children X, Y, and Z. There should be purpose to your week. Don't just let it just happen. You know, because what's going to happen is just like, well, I'll figure it out tomorrow. You know, Friday's going to come and you're going to be like, man, what did I do this week? You just wasted it away. You know, and this applies to physical things and things that are responsibilities, but just spiritual matters in general. What about soul winning? And I was encouraged. There's a young lady who went soul winning with us at the missions trip. And she said, Brother Bruce, I have a goal to reach 100 people for Christ. See, 100 souls saved this year. I said, amen. I said, where are you at right now? She goes, I'm at 35. She's keeping track. Amen. You know, she has a goal. She has a goal in mind that she wants to reach. But you know what? That doesn't happen on accident. That takes someone who is purposing to accomplish that specific goal. Don't wander around aimlessly. You know, he said, well, I'm not married yet, but you know what? You can still be goal-oriented, okay? Now look at James chapter 4, verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, God is not against you planning, okay? But it should be filtered through if this is what God wants. Look, if this is what God wants, if the Lord will, you know, we're going to do something great. Or I'm going to get this specific task or project done. I'm going to learn something this week that's going to be profitable to me and my family. I want to do something specific. It says, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So let me start off by saying is that the way you basically can prioritize your time is by recognizing your role in life, okay? This is very important because a lot of problems in marriages or just with your children, at work, or just life in general is when your roles get out of order, okay? You're getting out of order. And when your roles get out of order, guess what? There's fights, there's arguments, there's frustrations, there's just all kinds of nonsense that takes place simply because we're out of order. Now go with me if you went to Matthew chapter 22. God has given us roles to fulfill in life. What's the first role? Well, first role is we got to love God. Amen. Right off the bat. Amen. So the most important priority in life is God. Right. You need to make sure that you're pleasing God with your life. Okay? Loving him. And look what it says. Matthew 22 verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know, if you don't have that as a priority, then you're messed up. Amen. You know, your relationship with your wife is going to be all jacked up. So is your relationship with your children. You're not going to be a good worker. You're not going to be a good church member. You're not going to be a good Christian just in general. Why? Because this is the most important aspect right here. You see, you can't love your family more than you love God. You can't love your job more than you love God. Why? Because those things falter and fail us eventually. Why? Because they're fallible, okay? Whereas if we're loving God, God never lets us down. If we follow his commandments and we obey him, we can always rest assured that he'll come through on his promises of his blessings, okay? So we got to make sure you keep that relationship right, all right? Read the Bible. Pray. Take time to learn how to pray if you don't know how to pray. Take time to get your heart right in this matter of loving the Lord, okay? And look, Sometimes, if we're not careful, we even place the work of God above even loving God, if you can believe that. You know, because you're just working, you're soul winning, you're doing all these things. But to be honest with you, if we can see your heart, you'd probably be a person who's not reading the Bible when they're on their own. You're not depending on God. You're not asking God to fill you with His Spirit. You know, you need to make sure you keep that relationship right with the Lord. Okay? And look, part of that is confessing your sins on a daily basis throughout the day. You know, keep short accounts with the Lord. You do something bad, think something bad, say something bad, you confess your sins so He can cleanse you and you can be right with God. But you know what? There's Christians that spend weeks, yay, months, without even confessing their sins once. And they just become, their hearts become a cesspool of sin. And then they get involved in sin. And then they just become carnal. And they have this outward appearance as though they're godly. But you know what? Inwardly, they're just full of dead men's bones in a sense. Because they're not keeping short accounts with God. Loving God is the most important. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. I'll finish reading in Matthew. In verse 39 says, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." When you love the Lord, you know the natural byproduct is you're going to love people. You know? And why? Because God is love. Okay? And obviously the flip side of that is, you know what? If you love God, you're going to hate evil. You're going to hate those who hate the Lord. But you will love people. That's the byproduct of loving God. But the next one is this, is that, you know, our priority should be serving God as well. Okay? And I think sometimes people get this out of order where even they place their family above serving God. Now, don't misunderstand me here. Just remember, all of these work in tandem one with another. Amen. We're not supposed to neglect our family to serve God. It should be that when we serve God, we can serve God with our family. Amen. Right? You know, that's a problem with a lot of the older pastors of yesteryear, is that they were so busy in serving God, they neglected their families. You know what encourages me is when I see a mom and dad go soul winning with their children. That's a blessing. It's a family activity where they're going out and preaching the gospel. Look, some of the best memories that you make will be with your family on soul winning. You know, take pictures. And when you're done soul winning, go get some ice cream. Make it enjoyable. Don't make it an arduous task for you and your family to do. All right, let's go soul winning. Come on, come on. And they're like, I don't want to go. You know, they're just like complaining. This should be something that's fun. Amen. You know, I mean, can serving God be fun?
Amen.
Right? Does it have to be like an arduous task that we don't enjoy doing? No, it can be enjoyable. But you know what? There's a lot of pastors' kids out there that they despise the ministry because of their dad. They despise the ministry because of their parents. You know why? Because their parents are so busy serving God, they completely neglected their family. You know, we should serve God with our family. Okay? And for you young guys who are not married yet, make that decision now. Say, look, I'm going to involve my wife and my children. They're going to be involved in the work of the ministry, and we're going to enjoy serving God together. You go out sowing, and after you're done, all right, kids, let's go have some ice cream. We saw this many people saved. Amen. We didn't see anybody saved. Amen. You know, so your kids can grow up not hating the ministry.
Amen.
Okay, your kids can grow up and say, "Man, I've had good memories serving with my dad, soul winning. You know, doing the work of the Lord." But serving God, Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You see, often what happens is, when people are serving God with the wrong motives, they're actually doing it to serve men. Serve men with what? With their eyes. Okay? So people can see them doing great works. So men can see them serving the Lord. But you know what? When you're a servant of Christ from the heart, it's done with the right motives, and every single role that you have is working in tandem one with another. Okay? They're not overlapping, is what I'm saying. But keep that role in your life in its place. Okay? Now, go to Ephesians chapter number 5. You have the role of the husband, obviously. The role of the husband does not come before the role of a father. Does that make sense to everyone? So, in other words, you know, I liked my wife before I liked my children. You know, I dated my wife before I ever had children. So, you know who's more important to me? My wife is more important to me than my children. Don't get me wrong. I love my children to death. Kyla's getting nice and fat, plump. I love it. She's cute as the day is long. My son is getting adorable as the days go by. But you know what? I love my wife more than I love my children right now. You know? Because here's the thing. You look at the statistics. Most of the divorce that takes place, and divorce is wicked as hell, but most of the divorces that take place happens after the children are grown up and then they leave the home. And then they're like, the husband or wife are like, I don't even know you anymore. You know? Why? Because they're focused so much on the children, they neglected their marriage. You know? And it's just like, now the children are gone, it's like, I don't even know who you are. You know, we stayed together for the children. That's not how it ought to be. You ought to date your wife, you ought to date your husband, and the role should be in its place. Okay? Get your marriage fired up again if that's what you need. Go somewhere. Go get a hotel somewhere. Go take a walk on the beach. But why? Because that's more important. Amen. Okay? Look at Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So the Bible tells us there, we're to love our wives. But you know what? That's supposed to work in tandem with point number one and point number two. Amen. So it's not overlapping number one or number two. So it's not like, well, my wife doesn't want me to come to church, so I'm not going to come to church. That's not the way it works. Right. You know, all these are supposed to work in tandem one with another, okay? And you don't sacrifice one over the other. If you do everything correctly, if you have balance in every single one of these, you can do them all, okay? And look, don't ignore this message. You know, if you want me to preach on the reprobates, go listen to last week's sermon, okay? That should hold you off for a good amount of time for the next couple weeks, all right? This is important. Amen. Because what the problem is that young people grow up knowing a whole bunch of Bible, but guess what? They don't even know how to be a husband. They don't know how, the ladies don't even know how to be wives. They don't know what roles are. You know, this is important. Amen. This needs to be applied to your personal life on a daily basis. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. So husbands, love your wives. Cultivate that relationship. Go on dates once a week. You say, but we're already married. Why should I go on a date? Because so you can keep, like, stay in love with your wife, you know? So you can stay in love with your husband, so you guys can like each other more, you know? I mean, that's what you did before marriage. That's what you should do after marriage. You should have a time once a week when you go out on a date, okay? And I'm going to hit a button, I'm going to hit a hot topic on this. You know, sometimes we just need to put away our phones when we're on dates. Okay, I'm preaching to myself on that. Okay, our phones, like when we're on dates, it's just like, check the YouTube channel real quick. You know, it should be that we spend time with one another, not time with one another in our phones. Okay, but dates once a week is important. You know, and then every couple of months, you just need to just get away sometimes. Why? Because that's the most important relationship this side of eternity with a human is your spouse. Okay? Very important. But you know what? You know, all around the country, you have spouses that are cheating on each other, committing adultery. And look, that's wicked. They have no right to do that. But you know, one of the reasons why is because that relationship wasn't cultivated. Okay? That relationship was not taken care of. That role was not taken care of, okay? It was out of sync, out of whack, and that's why that happens. Look at Ephesians 6. Not only that, but also as a role as a parent. Verse number 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Hey, you know, as parents, we need to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, well, I don't have kids. Then obey verses 1 through 3. Because you're still a child. Someone's child, amen? That means you need to obey your parents. Okay? Sow good seeds with your family, with your mom and dad. Don't disrespect them. Don't give them lip. Okay? Don't be a little stinking brat to your parents. Well, I'm 20 this and 20 that. You know, I know more than them. You know, grow up, first and foremost. And it's funny how people who are actually mature and grown up and can actually probably, I'm not saying that it's valid for them to say something like that, are typically the ones who actually do honor their parents and are respectable towards their parents and love their parents. You know, you need to sow those good seeds today, okay? And it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, it doesn't matter how much you got your stuff together in your personal life. You want to make sure that you honor your parents as much as you possibly can. Because let me say this, one day your mom and dad are not going to be there. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to regret the fact that you didn't honor your parents the way you should. You know? And look, I've met a lot of people that they live in regret because their parents passed away and they regret dishonoring their parents. They regret not loving their mom and their dad as they should. I'm not saying you have to agree with them on everything, obviously, you know? But you know, you can still honor your mom and dad. Okay? You can still tell them, hey, I love you. Hey, hold on a second. What about, hey, well, no, we're not talking about that right now. How about the phrase, I love you? Is that bad? Is that embarrassing to go home today, go to your mom and dad, or give them a call and say, hey, I just want to let you know, I love you. And is that weird? Is that a little soft? No, it's not. That's appropriate. Amen. Go tell them, say, hey, I just want to let you know, I love you. And you know what? Maybe they'd be more open to your doctrine if you do stuff like that every once in a while. Okay, maybe they'll be a little more open to your radical ideas, to your post-trib, pre-wrath, replacement, fag-hating doctrine, which I'm all for, if every once in a while you show the tender aspect of your heart to say, Mom, I just want to let you know I love you. Dad, I love you. Okay, how about this? Here's a novel thought. Why don't you write them a letter? Write them a letter? I just text them. No. A handwritten note. How about that? Handwritten note saying, this is for no special occasion. I just want to let you know I appreciate you for being my mom. Appreciate you for being my dad. I love you guys. You know, at that point, when you bring that doctrine to them, they don't think you're just some stupid idiot who doesn't know what they're talking about. Okay? Honor your parents. Have a good relationship with your mom and dad. Because you're going to regret it when they pass away. And you're gonna regret the times you didn't tell them I love you. And it's sad because most people finally come to grips of how much they should have said it when they're already gone. You know, don't waste these years, you know, being a jerk to your parents. Spend these years appreciating them because they're not gonna be around forever. Okay, and look, just of course for your sake, so when they're gone, you have that conscience that's free of guilt. But not only that, so that you can sow good seeds in the future, okay? Because you will have children one day, and you want to make sure that your children honor you as well, all right? Now, so here's the thing. So go to Matthew chapter 6. You know, obviously, and along with that is providing for your family. We need to make sure that we have an atmosphere in our church that says, hey, we as men need to provide for our families, okay? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Okay, those are strong words that God has to say there, okay? We need to make sure that we have an atmosphere to say, you know what, I need to take responsibility for my household and provide for them. He said, well, I'm broke. Feed them beans and rice. If that's what we need to do, okay? But hey, that's providing. Amen? Amen. So, on the note of just, you know, being too busy, too out of, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes Christians, because all these things are out of sync, important things just get neglected, you know? And those are the two main reasons why. Why? Because you're just too busy. Okay, let's talk about that for just a moment. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. So the Bible specifically tells us, hey, we need to make sure that we are heavenly minded, that we're aligning our lives with God's word and making sure we prioritize our lives in regards to God's word. Okay, make sure it's in alignment with that. You know, don't seek to be rich. Don't seek to be famous. Don't seek to be comfortable. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things, the things that you need, shall be added unto you. You know, don't be a carnal Christian where it's just like you put God's things on the back burner because you're struggling a little bit. Okay, struggles come and go. You need to make sure you're seeking the things of God. Look at Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. It says here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen.
All right. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that's not saying don't worry about anything on the earth, okay? It's just priorities is what it's saying. You know, hey, you need to make sure you're keeping God's priorities, your priorities. Because sometimes what happens is people start struggling financially. What happens? They get out of church. Or they go through a rough time of just emotional turmoil. And what happens? They get out of church. Or they stop reading their Bibles. Or they stop soul winning because they can't. No, what you need to do is start doing those things a little more. Okay? You say, how can I do things a little more if I'm like emotionally distraught? You need to help. You need to do that to get you over the hump.
Right.
During that season.
Right.
Okay? You need to make sure that you do those things to get you over the hump of that specific season, because you will go through seasons like that. You know, the Christian's life is not all roses and daisies.
Right.
It sucks sometimes. Okay? Amen. It just does. It's painful. It hurts. There's tears. There's sorrows. There's frustrations. There's anger. But you know what? Should we neglect the things of God because of those temporal things? No. We need to be mature enough to deal with trials and tribulations in our life and still maintain a correct walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Still fulfill our responsibilities. Not wear our emotions on our sleeves, okay? Or on our spiritual sleeves, so to speak, okay? We need to make sure that we're mature, that when we're going through a trial, hey, ask for prayer, ask for help, but keep doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Seek those things which are above, okay? Very important. But you know what happens is people go through a trial and it's just like you don't see them for like a long time, you know? And often they just fall off the radar like bad, you know? And it's harder to get back on track than it is to stay on track.
Yeah.
Just keep that in mind. It is harder to get back on track after you've been out of church for so long than to just stay on track. To just maintain and get your butt in church when you're supposed to be in church. Open up the Bible even if you don't feel like reading. Pray. That's hard, yes, but you know what? If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. You know, better to just maintain it and just bite your tongue and just do it than to regret that you haven't done it for months. Okay? Now, what happens when we're too busy to fulfill these roles? Go to Matthew chapter 13. There's consequences to it. You know, how many times have you heard, yeah, I like to do that. I'm just so busy. You know, I'm just way too busy. And it's good to be busy. Don't get me wrong. We need to stay busy, okay? And we'll get that in the second half of the sermon. But I'm talking about busyness that takes you out of your roles, okay? Too busy for church, or too busy for just the things of God in general, or just to fulfill your roles in general. What happens? Well, number one, you become unfruitful.
Right.
You see, the purpose of a Christian is to bear fruit, okay? Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you are being paid by the church or not. Doesn't matter if you just got saved yesterday or you've been saved for the last 10 years. You need to be fruitful. You need to bear spiritual fruit in your personal lives. Whether it's just fruit as in, you know, cleaning up your life, or it's fruit as in just soul winning, you need to be bearing fruit. But look what the Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 22. Speaking of the seeds that were sown. He also that received seed among the thorns, verse 22, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful, the Bible says. Look, this person is making dough, right? Making a lot of money. Probably making a lot of money, but you know what? It's choking out the word, and they become unfruitful. More important than any great amount of money that you can make is the fruit, is the everlasting fruit that you produce.
Amen.
Okay? Lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Lay your treasures up in heaven. Okay? That's what we need to focus on. And I'm not saying don't get riches here if we're going to use them for the right reasons, but that ought not to take a priority over the spiritual riches that we're looking to get. Okay? Don't become unfruitful. You don't have to turn there. Mark 4:19, parallel passage says this, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You see, when you get too busy, you get carnal, what happens? You start sinning. You know, we're all sinners, and we do bad stuff, and we're not perfect in a sense. But you know what? If we're sinners, but we're walking with the Lord, we're trying to do the best that we can to please Him, we're not going to be just involved in any kind of crazy sin. But someone who's constantly busy doesn't have an appropriate spiritual outlet that's designated to keep them in God's will. And what happens? They start to get involved in sin. The lust of other things entering in choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Okay, go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Be fruitful. Be fruitful physically, have children, but also be fruitful spiritually. We need to make sure that we're keeping soul winning the main thing.
Amen.
Okay. And think about it. What if we were in a church that really didn't emphasize soul winning? Would you be able to maintain frugal or to be fruitful even in the midst of that? You know, because it ought to be your personal goal to say, no, I want to be a soul winner.
Amen.
I need to make myself do these things so I can become fruitful. Okay, that ought to be the goal for everyone. And the message this morning was for everyone. It's for our church, obviously, but it's for every individual to say, hey, you need to make the gospel a priority once again.
Amen.
Okay, don't get so puffed up in your knowledge. Don't get so puffed up or so carried away, so busy that you forget about the Great Commission.
Amen.
Be fruitful. But not only that, you actually have a false sense of accomplishment when you're too busy. You know, look what Ecclesiastes 10:10 says. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. What is it saying? You know, if the axe is basically blunt, you're going to have to work a whole lot to break that wood. But you know what? You're not getting much done. I mean, isn't that reminiscent of a lot of churches? Where they just got so much activity going on. You know, so much bus ministry and so many missionaries that they're supporting and all these things. And it just looks like a lot, but they're not getting anything done.
Right.
They can have 5 buses, 6, 7 buses, fill them up with bus kids. But you know what? At the end of the day, they're not getting much done with that.
Yeah.
They can support 35 missionaries, and I guarantee you they'll only produce 2, if that, salvations.
Right.
You got 35 missionaries for 3 days. And we saw 241 people saved.
Right.
You're getting a lot done.
Amen.
So it looks like they're busy. Like, wow, so much going on. So many missions. This missionary is being supported for $50 a month. You know, all these things. It's just like so much is going on. But they're not getting anything done. They look busy.
Right.
And what happens when you're busy? You have a false sense of accomplishment. You think you're doing a lot, but you're not.
Amen.
Christian school and all these things. Like, Christian school is something that, like, man, I'm thinking in Spanish right now. I was going to say, te agota. What's the word I'm looking for here? What? Te agota? It just wears you out. Because it just works you to the bone. But you know what? It doesn't get nothing done. Okay? Some of the worst people I've ever met are those who went to Christian school. Look, and the exception proves the rule. Okay. Obviously, there's people who went to Christian school, they graduated, and they're doing great, they're serving the Lord, but the vast majority of them are not. And the vast majority of them are horrible people. In fact, I've known people who graduated Christian school, and they're a bunch of reprobates. Okay. But it takes a lot of work to maintain that. But you know what? That's a false sense of accomplishment because you're not getting anything done. Okay. What about like track drops? That's a lot of work. And look, I know what I'm talking about because I used to do track drops. I've passed out, I mean, right? 10,000, 15,000, yay, 20,000 tracks.
Right.
I put hours of work into that. I've done that, but you know what? It's vain, it's vanity. It was a bunch of work that didn't do anything.
Right.
Bottom line. But I was busy, right? I was super busy, like, you know, doing the work of the Lord. Yeah, doing the work of the Lord. You think you're doing the work of the Lord, but you ain't doing nothing. You know, they would have this statistic where it's just like for every 10, for every 100 tracks, you get one visitor, you know? And I remember one time we did one and it was just like, I can't remember how many, it was like thousands of tracks that we dropped, right? And it was for like a big day, you know what I mean? And it was getting towards the time where I was getting just fed up with this concept of track drops. Because for years I've done it and it just wasn't doing much. And I remember one of the last times we're doing this track drop for this huge day. And, you know, they're like pumping it like, yeah, we have a big day. We're going to have so many people. We give out 10,000, 15,000 tracks. And like no one came. It was like cricket, cricket, cricket. It was like, well, that sucked. That didn't do nothing. And I was like, man, I put in all those hours. Passed out all those tracks. And nothing came out of it. Not even their stupid statistic came true. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe like a family came, but they didn't even get a track. They just came because they found out about the church and they came, you know? And that was God saying, all right, you know, I'll send some. Just so you don't get discouraged. I'll send someone, okay? But they're busy. But it's a false sense of accomplishment. But you know what? On a personal level, that can be the case too, you know? Where maybe you're at home, maybe you're a woman who's able to stay at home, and you think you're doing a lot. But at the end of the day, it's just like, what did I get done? Nothing. You know, maybe because you're on Facebook too much, you know, Instagram too much, or social media, whatever social media too much, and you got a lot of this done. You know, you got a lot of this done, but you really didn't get anything done at the end of the day. Okay? Busyness often causes a false sense of accomplishment. Whereas if you're actually doing, even if you do a little of the right thing the right way, you still get more done if you're just doing it the wrong way. Does that make sense to everyone? Don't make me repeat that because I don't remember how. Just keep that in mind. Go listen to the recording. I think that makes sense. Even doing a little bit of the right thing the right way still gets more done than doing it the wrong way, the wrong thing the wrong way. You get more done. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Busyness. People are sometimes too busy and they think like they're doing a lot, but they're not doing nothing. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're doing anything. And here's a good example of this. This is an extreme example, but it's a good example. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many were saying to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? This is a Pentecostal, by the way. I just want to let you know that. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. So this dude's working. He's speaking in tongues. He's flinging the snakes. He's learning the drums. I mean, they're doing the dances in the church. He's sweating. They're doing a lot. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. He's like, I don't even know the works you did. You're unto every good work reprobate. Right? What does that mean? Rejected. Rejected. Your works are rejected. I don't accept that. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, they were working, but they were working iniquity. Amen. We need to make sure that when we work and when we're busy about the right things, about our Father's business. Amen. Now, go to, go to Proverbs chapter 29. But what else happens when you're busy? You neglect people. Okay, when you're too busy, you neglect the people. Often it's just the people you love. Okay? You know, when you're too busy working or whatever it may be, often it's just your family who suffers because of that, okay? And work has its place. Don't get me wrong. Work has its place. I spent the last 3.5 days working very hard. But you know what? Tomorrow, I want to spend time with my children, okay? I want to play with him, with my son. I want to do piggyback rides and do the things that he loves and spend a couple hours with him because he hasn't seen me in a couple days, okay? I need to spend time with him. And look, it's funny. My mother-in-law was telling my wife that when, like, she went away for a while, maybe it was to like a conference or something. That when she would get back, her younger children would kind of give her like the silent treatment. But it was almost like I'm talking about the little kids, because it was almost like, you know, where have you been? You know, you left me. And my son was doing that. I mean, you know, when I came home, you know, he was just kind of like silent towards me. I was like, Bruce, and he's just like. You know, I'm like, what's up with this guy? I was like, what's up with this guy? He's acting all weird. And he goes, I think he's just kind of saying, where have you been? You know what I mean? Now, he lightened up after a while, but you know what? I want to make sure I never neglect my son, my children. Why? Because he's never going to be that age ever again. And I don't want to miss that age because I'm too busy. I'm not saying I can't go on a mission trip or do work. I need to do these things. I'm an evangelist. This is what I do. Amen. Preaching the gospel. I got to do this work. But you know what? My role also tells me I need to take care of my son and my daughter, spend time with my son, Bruce, let him know that I love him, that I'm spending time with him. Why? Because that's my role in life. And I can't be so busy that I just neglect my son. Because what happens if a couple years go by, I'm like, man, where have the years gone? I didn't get to see my son grow up. You know, it's going to be a waste. You neglect people. Proverbs 28:29-15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, often people, the children who just turn out really bad are those who have parents who never really paid attention to their children. Right. They're too busy working. And again, I'm not against working. You have to work. But remember, in tandem with everything else. Yeah. You know, don't sit your child in front of a television screen, you know, and let that be the babysitter. You know, you need to make sure you're taking care of your children. You know, forget your yacht. Forget your nice things. Your children are more important. Amen. Your family is more important because you only get one. Amen. And you know, they grow up and they hate the ministry and they don't have a good relationship with you. You know, that yacht's not going to be very pleasing to you either at the end of the day. It's like, man, this is nothing and I lost my family. You know, forget the yacht. Be poor, but your children love you. Your wife respects you. That's the best thing ever.
Amen.
Go to Matthew 23. Now, this goes along with one of my other points, but what happens when you're too busy? You don't produce something of quality. You see, why? Because you have this false sense of accomplishment, but you're not producing quality. That goes back to the point of doing the right things the right way. Okay? You know, you can be busy for years on the mission field. Years and years and sending the prayer letters, how you're praying for this guy and we're discipling him and pray that they get saved 6 months later and all these weird things. You know what? And yeah, you could be a hero to the people in your church because you're on the mission field for 10 years and you saw like 1.5 person saved. And they're a hero to these people. But are you producing quality? Let's just throw a couple $100 down, go to some mission field, go preach the gospel, go eat some tacos, go have a good time doing it, and then you produce something of quality.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says in Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. That reminds me of just missionaries today, don't they? And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Why? Because you're not even preaching the right gospel. You know, they are preaching, they don't even know how to preach the gospel. They compass sea and land to go reach people to make one, but he becomes a Calvinist.
Right.
That's not quality. You know, or they become some liberal with the rock and roll fun center.
Right.
That's not quality. Better to just get them saved, get some hard leather lung preaching into their hands. Well, what about disciples? Are you just going to forget about them? No, that's why we left them with material. Amen. That's why the people we met were like, hey, here's their YouTube. Check it out.
Amen.
Right.
You can listen to our preaching every day or every week or whatever. You know, the lady we met who I baptized, her son got saved. He got baptized. And then we're taking him home. And in Spanish, we're saying, you know, where do you live? And he said in English, make a left. I say, hey, that's pretty good, you know. Little Mexican kid knows how to say left. And he goes, okay, now make a right. I'm like, do you know English? And he's like, yeah, I speak English. I'm like, well, thanks for saying something. You know? He's like, yeah, I mean, I used to live in Arizona, and I lived in California. And I'm like, okay, you know, you fooled me, you know? But the guy speaks English. So I gave him the YouTube channel. I was like, check it out, man, you know? But you know what? That's quality. The guy's actually saved. Okay, if you ask them, you go back there, you know, if they got saved, I guarantee you they'll give you the right answers. Why? Because I'm not Garrett. I'm actually saved. I'm a saved person.
Right.
So I'm going to produce saved people.
Amen.
These people, they're not doing that.
Amen.
And Garrett's just as bad as sometimes with these saved missionaries because they ain't getting no one saved either. They're compassing sea and land to make one proselyte. We're not looking to go over there to make one proselyte, one convert. You know, let's just go there sowing for 6 hours a day. I mean, we're not going out here sowing 6 hours a day, but you know, this is a special mission. Let's do it for 6 hours a day. And you get a lot of people saved. Quality. And guess what? Thankfully, with the quality comes quantity.
Amen.
Go to Proverbs 31. But you know what? Churches are just dumping their money on these lame, lazy, whack missionaries.
Amen. That's right.
You know, who are just, they're just having a glorified vacation is what they're having.
Preaching.
Okay. And, you know, they're discipling everyone and all these things. Some of these people don't even know how to preach the gospel.
Right.
Yep. I've personally met these people, and they've even told Brother Margaret, they don't know how to preach the gospel.
Wow.
They'll say this, they'll say, you know, you guys do it different here. Like what? Soul winning. Like, well, how do you do it? We go, well, you know, we'll talk to them for like 6 months. We'll develop a relationship with them. What do you do if in 3 months that person dies and goes to hell?
Yeah.
What do you do then? Okay. No. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the appointed time, the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay. We want to make sure that we're not so busy or try to make ourselves look so busy that we're not producing quality work. Okay, now, what I have you turn, Proverbs 31. So that's what happens when you're too busy. But then you know what? On the opposite side of that spectrum, you have someone who's just too idle. They're not doing nothing. Okay, look at Proverbs 31. This is a good example of a woman who even us as men can learn from. Okay, you look at the Proverbs 31 woman. This is a good principle to live by right here. Look what it says in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Is there idle bread? No. In other words, she just doesn't sit around, you know, just shooting the breeze. She's doing something.
Amen.
Okay? And we all need to learn from that. We don't eat the bread of idleness. You know, don't wonder what you're going to do this week. Plan what you're going to do this week. Plan some projects out in your personal life, whether you're going to get some reading done, you're going to memorize some scripture, you're working on a specific project that'll help you to exercise that muscle in your head called the brain. Now, go to Romans chapter 12. So what happens when you don't do that? Well, the most obvious one, you just become lazy. A lazy bum is what you become when you become idle. You become lethargic, lazy, tired, just not interested in the things of God. That's what idleness does to you. Okay? And laziness is a sin. It's a major sin. And look, this should apply obviously to ladies as well, but more so to men. Why? Because we're made to work. We're made to accomplish something. Don't be a lazy Christian. You will destroy yourself and your family and your ministry if you are a lazy, slothful person. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself if that's who you are. Okay? Look at Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He's saying, he's like, look, what's the opposite of being slothful? You be fervent. You're living with purpose in mind. You have goals. You need to be a goal-oriented type of a Christian, okay? And this is where a lot of people just get into false doctrine sometimes because they got too much time on YouTube. Looking up too many flat earth clips. You know, they're just on YouTube all the time. They're idle, and they're learning stupid doctrine. And flat earth is a stupid doctrine.
Amen.
Go to Judges 18. So when you become idle, what does it mean to be idle? It's basically, you know, when your car is idle, it's just stagnant.
Right.
You're just like, you're not going anywhere. You're not even going backwards. You're just like there. You're just like a rock. Okay, you're not doing anywhere, you're not going anywhere. God didn't make us to do that. Okay, God made us to be active, having action in our life, doing something. You know, you ought not to be just at home on your couch, just like.
Come on, amen.
And then you just like yawn and you just don't know what to do. Obviously, there's time when you got to take a break from what you're doing to just rest for a little bit. Okay, well, take a nap or whatever. But I'm saying that ought not to be your life, though.
Amen.
Okay, there should be. Look, you should be excited about this week. Why? I don't know. Whatever it is that you got going on. You know, it's just like, yeah, I got this going on. I gotta take care of this. I'm excited about tomorrow. I got this project I'm working on that I want to. I'm learning something new. Hey, I heard a sermon on Sunday about making the commission great again. I need to learn Spanish.
Good.
Yeah. I heard Brother Chad has Rosetta Stone that he's willing to share with people. Amen. I need to learn Spanish.
Amen.
You know, I'm excited about that. I'm going to read flashcards. Nah, you're just exaggerating. Then be lazy then.
Yeah.
Be idle then. Be worthless. Okay? Be like the salt without savor, who's just cast out into the draft and men just walk all over you. No, you need to have some purpose. Now look at Judges 18, verse 8. It says, and they came unto their brethren to Zorah and Eshtal, and their brethren said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise, get up, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter and to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure, and to a land, large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. What is he saying? Don't be idle.
Yeah.
And look, God has a lot of blessings for us, but he's not just going to let it fall into our lap.
Right.
We need to work for it. He said, get up. Go do something. Well, I just want to preach like a really good sermon one day. Then do something. Labor in the word. Read the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
You know, I need to learn Spanish, man. Then do it.
Amen.
Learn it. You know, put some work into it. Don't just wait for God to just give you the gift of tongues, because it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? You need to just work and do something to get to that point. Okay? Go to Proverbs 21. But what happens when you're idle? You basically just become lazy. And God cannot bless a lazy Christian. It's not going to happen. And look, don't wait for someone to come and give you a project. You come up with the project. You figure something out. Okay? Like, well, I'm just waiting for that opportunity. It's not going to come. Make opportunities is what you need to do. Okay? Be someone of action. Be a self-starter. Don't wait for someone to have to kick you in your hinder parts to get you going. You ought to make sure that you're just like, you know what? I got vision for my personal life. I'm going places. And look, you know, ladies like that for you single guys. You know, they want to be with the guy who's going somewhere, not some lazy, lethargic bum. They want someone who's going somewhere. You got things going on. And you're just like, grab onto my coattail. We're going on a ride. We're going to serve the Lord. Okay? But what happens when you're idle? You also starve. Obviously, that's in a physical sense. Look what Proverbs 21:25 says. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. You know what happens when you're idle? You're lazy, and you end up starving to death. Because you're too lazy to work, to pay the bills, or to pay for a meal. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
That's a good motivation to work.
Amen.
I want to eat, right? But you know what? We can apply this spiritually, can't we? You know, if you don't work and labor in the word, you're going to starve spiritually.
Amen.
You know, You know, you shouldn't be like, well, I need to come on Sunday because I need to pick me up from the sermon. You know, I just need some encouragement. No, you ought to come to church to confirm what you're already getting out of the Bible. Okay? And I'm not saying you're not going to get anything encouraging. Obviously, something's going to encourage you. You're going to be blessed when you come to church because you're around your brethren, etc. But you know what? You need to make sure you're eating on a daily basis. Don't be lazy. Read the Bible. Amen. Not posts. You know, Facebook and Instagram posts all the time. So that's my daily reading. You know, and I hope to God that no one in here is reading a devotional. Amen. You know, daily bread or something. I read my daily. I saw that on Instagram. Someone was like, yeah, I got my daily devotional. Read my daily devotional today. What? Get that crap out of here. Amen. That daily devotionals are not welcomed here. Amen. Okay, that goes in the same trash bin as the 1960 Reina Valera.
Amen.
Okay, that's where that goes. Why? Because God already wrote you a devotional right here.
Right.
66 books right there. Good. That's what you need to be reading.
Yep.
Okay. Now, where do I have you turn? Do I have you turn anywhere? Go to Jeremiah 17. Now, here's a major one. Okay, this is big. And this often applies to ladies, but it's applicable to everyone. What happens when you're idle? Often, the result of it is you get depressed. Okay? You get depressed. And I'm not, guys can are prone to that as well. Okay, depression. But often it's because you're too idle. You're not doing anything. Look at Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You know what happens when you're idle? You have too much time to think.
Right.
And look, thinking is a good thing, but you need to think on something productive.
Amen.
Like the Word of God, projects, goals. But when you don't have those things, you know what you think about? Imaginations that aren't even real. Because look, God gave us the ability to have imaginations, which works to our advantage. Why? Because we have a goal, we have a vision, and what do we allow ourselves to do? To imagine its potential.
Right.
Like, wow, you know, we can reach all of LA. Here and there, we can see. And then our imagination allows us to see the bigger picture. You know, when the Bible talks about he's able to give us abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That imagination takes us to that plane so that God can do abundantly above that. But you know what? If you're not doing anything and you're idle, your imaginations turn on you. And they start coming up with stupid stuff that's not even true. I think they don't like me at church. You know, Alex said something to me the other day and just... And it just kind of, I wonder, are they talking about me over there? And you just start thinking up stupid stuff. Because you're twiddling your fingers, not doing anything, but thinking. That's not the way to live. Okay? Ladies, don't be that way. Don't be idle at home. Get off of Facebook, get off of Instagram, and go clean the house. Okay, work on a specific area in your house that needs work, okay? Or learn how to prepare a special meal. Learn how to do something. Learn a trade. Learn something that will make you productive. Why? Because if you're not careful, if you're home all day long, you're going to have these crazy imaginations, and it's going to take you to Star Wars land, to a galaxy far, far away. And you just, then, you know, your husband comes home and then you're just like, just depressed and, you know, you're going through the 75 years of great tribulation at home. And the husband's like, what's wrong? Well, it's because you're idle. And look, husbands, help your wife with this. Give them some projects to do. Give them some things to learn that are enjoyable to learn. Okay? Find your wife's niche, where something that she can learn that she will enjoy. They could potentially turn into like a family business. That would be great, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like something, you're working on something with some, you know, you need to figure something out. I don't know your wife. And look, one of the best ways, and look, obviously, it's different for everyone. And one of the things that helps with just not being idle is having kids. Right? You know, my wife's pretty busy with two projects. Okay, one project produces a lot of poop. And the other project, you know, she spent the last 3 weeks teaching them where to poop and to pee. Okay, and that's my son. He's being potty trained. Well, you know what? It was a big project for my wife. I remember the week before, you know, and she was like, next week, I'm doing it. We're going to potty train Bruce. We're going to do it. You know, on Monday, we start. I'm like, amen. You know, to do it. And she goes, I know it's going to be hard, though, because I need to take him to the restroom every 15 minutes to make sure he gets it. And I remember Monday, it was just disaster. Disaster was all over the place. We just weren't getting it, you know. But you know what? That was her project. Amen? Amen? And it was difficult and it was hard. But you know what? Wednesday came around and then he was going. You know, he has his own little toilet that he uses. You know, and it makes a fake flushing noise and stuff. You don't have to do it this way. This is the way we did it. And we liked the way it worked. You know, my wife would give him marshmallows when he would use the restroom in the toilet. Like, yeah, marshmallows. And he's like... happy as the day is long. But you know what? He's potty trained.
Amen.
It was hell trying to get him to get potty trained, but you know what? He's potty trained. And now he sits there and he's just like, pee, 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 pee. If you ever hear him in the service, you may not know what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's like, I gotta go. But you know what? That's a big project and it kept my wife busy. She ain't got time to have imaginations. You know? The only imaginations that she's having is regarding potty training, you know what I mean? Like, what's the best way to do it or whatever, you know? But kids help with that. Sorry for the banda music right there in the back. This is not part of the video on YouTube, okay? This is not the music overlay for the video. Yeah. Ambient banda music for the preaching. This is LA, okay? So, you know, you gotta have a project to do at home. And obviously children help with that, but if you don't have children, you know, you need to figure something out. I can't wait till that light turns green. Good night. It's probably the World Cup or something. All right, it turned green. I lost my train of thought. So, you know, if you don't have kids, then you need to find a project to do. Okay? Something that the ladies can get excited about. All right? That keeps them busy, because imaginations can just get you depressed. And depression it stinks, you know? You just get depressed and you're just like, and you're just constantly crying. But you know what? If you have a project, if you have goals that you're working on, if you're keeping yourself busy and you're not idle, you're not going to fall into that trap, all right? Go to Revelation chapter number 3. We're almost done. Revelation chapter number 3. So what also happens when you're idle? Well, you're not strengthening the things that remain. So that's coupled with having projects at home, is just make sure you're maintaining the specific things you're already doing. Okay, look at Revelation 3:2 says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead, that are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You don't have to turn there. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Okay, how can we apply that practically? Well, ladies, if you're idle at home, start cleaning what you already cleaned. You know, wash the dishes, clean, okay? You know, get on your hands and knees and wash the floors. Oh, I can't believe you said that. That's how my wife learned how to wash floors. Her dad used to tell her, we don't do mops. You know why? Because mops move dirt. You guys know that? Okay, it just kind of moves it around is what it does. He would have his daughters hands and knees with a rag and go from every corner to every corner cleaning that. Oh, that's enslavement. Shut up with your feminazi, stupid effeminate philosophies. Okay? That's why my wife has character. Because she's just like, you know, and it is a big floor. But you know, and we have carpet now, so you don't have to do that anymore, obviously. But I'm saying, you know, cleaning should be a very integral part of the home. And with guys, this is the same thing. Look, don't let your spiritual life decay. You need to make sure you're maintaining that thing. Whether it's at, especially at work, maintain your work, maintain what you're doing. Don't be idle. Ecclesiastes chapter number 6, turn there if you would. Actually, you know what? No, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, sorry. So remember, with the being too busy, you have a false sense of accomplishment. But when you're too idle, you have no sense of accomplishment. You don't get anything done. You don't have a sense of accomplishment. You don't know what it's like to accomplish something. And look, men, that's where we thrive. When we have a project, we get her done, and it's just like, man, I finished it.
Amen.
It's complete. Time to conquer something else.
Amen.
I'm married. I married her. I conquered her. Time to accomplish something else. That's how guys think. They just go around conquering project to project. Okay? And look, my father-in-law taught me that. It is the greatest. He taught me that, and I married his daughter. So, you know, he knew what he was doing. Okay? He specifically he goes, look, Brother Bruce, we're conquerors. Okay? That's why when we get married, it's like we move on to something else. That doesn't mean we neglect our wife, but it's just like we want to conquer things. What does that mean? Accomplish something. Something that's difficult, something that's hard, and when it's done, it's like, yes, I finished it, you know? But if you're idle, you're not doing nothing. You don't even know what it's like to accomplish something, okay? And then you don't feel like a man, okay? You need to do that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Man, Paul's like, man, I finished. You know, he's ready to do it. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. That's a sense of accomplishment. Okay? But when you're idle, you don't have that sense. You're not doing nothing. Okay? Go build something. Go accomplish a project. Get some purpose in life and do it. Now, I'm going to skip some things here. Let's see here. Well, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, I'll take a couple more minutes, all right? Give me a couple more minutes. When you're idle, you open yourself up to spiritual attacks. Okay, that goes along with depression, obviously. My father-in-law used to say this, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Okay, when you're idle, that goes along with depression, obviously, but when you're idle, it's, you know, God wants you to think on specific things. But when you don't have nothing to think about, nothing to do, the devil just comes and just starts putting all kinds of imaginations in your mind. Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, in the Old Testament, why would guys gird up their loins? To do what?
Fight.
To work, to fight, right? Well, here it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind to work on something.
Amen.
Keep your mind busy. Learn something. Keep it going. Why? Because when you're idle, that's the devil's workshop. And last verse here, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. What happens when you're idle? You actually become a busybody. Okay? My favorite word to use, a what? No. Spanish. It's a Spanish word. There you go. Chismosa. And a chismoso. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Amen, hermanos. Verse 10. It says, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Skip down to verse number 13. And withal, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the young woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So what is it saying? Look, when you become idle, you just become a busybody. You just want to get in everyone's business. Instead of taking care of your own business. You know why you get involved in other people's business? Because you ain't got your own business. You know what I mean? But when you got your own business to take care of, you ain't got time for everyone else's business. And the only time you get involved in someone else's business is when it requires for you to get involved in someone else's business. But when you are a busybody, it means that you're idle. You're not doing anything. So look, if you get nothing out of this sermon, get this. You know, obviously there's an extreme. You could be too busy to the point where you're not getting things done. Okay, you have a false sense of accomplishment, but on the other hand, you could be too idle to the point where you're really not getting anything done. Okay, so you say, what do I do? Get a project going this week. Go home tonight, sit down, pull out a pen and pad and say, all right, what are some goals that I want to do? And look, don't think so less of yourself. You say, oh, I just don't know how to do anything. Woe is me, you know. I just don't know how to do anything. Okay, get out of under the juniper tree. Amen. All right, God needs to send that gourd and eat up your little tree up. And figure something out. So if you don't know how to do something, then there you go. Go learn how to do something.
Amen.
Case closed, there you go. You need to learn something. This week, pick up a skill, a task. Have something to do this week that is profitable. And look, something of quality. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we're so thankful that it's so filled with richness and depth. But also, it has a lot of truth for just practical living. And Lord, you've made us as men to work. You've made us just as human beings to be productive. And I pray we would not fall into the trap of being so busy that we're just busy about doing the wrong things, that we neglect the most important things, but also that we be not idle, but that we have goals. We were oriented around specific tasks, and we have plans, and we're going places for you, Lord. Help us to do so, Lord. We love you so much, and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.